Physical realms, Kay. Ideas and stories, hopes and dreams they share, with intuition as their guiding cosmic flare. In morning's embrace, their dialogues unfurl, metaphysical whispers, a new day's pearl. In these whispered tones, they contemplate the night, where truth and wonder take their graceful flight. For in their words, a resonance may swell, as conversation's magic casts its spell. Welcome to Carolyn and Jay's Metaphysical Conversations. Good morning. We are Carolyn and Jay here with Metaphysical Conversations, and it is August 26th, and we are 34 out of 52 weeks into the year. And yes, we are going to be taking readings for today. And because we have the subject, conversations we tend to avoid, you can help us avoid them, as Jay was saying earlier today, which I thought was really funny. So by calling in for a reading, or even if you want to add to the conversation that we tend to avoid, you can also let us know too if that's why you're calling in. And to call in, you can call in between 7:15 to 7:35 Pacific today, and the number to call is 857-232-0155. Again, the number is 857-232-0155, and the extension is 870-303. Jay, good morning.
Hi, Carolyn. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm still trying to wake up, but I think I'm pretty much there.
What happened to that coffee?
I'm still drinking it. It's still happening.
Oh, okay. It's almost going to hit. Maybe it'll hit during the show. So can you let us know how they can get us in the chat room?
I can. You can go there by going to click on the chat button there on the 12radio.com page. That's the number 12radio.com. Once that chat window is open, it does take you to a private Facebook chat group with the same name, 12radio. It's our best way to keep things secure and to keep things from floating all over the internet, so we can have a fun conversation and a safe place for you to ask questions. In the comments section under our banner, Metaphysical Conversations, that's where you can join the conversation. And then, as Carolyn said, you can call in and talk to us as well.
Okay, so yeah, so today we decided to talk about conversations we tend to avoid. And, feel free to join us there. One of the first ones that I think that is a fairly obvious one, especially around the Democratic Convention, is politics. Because of our differences in political views, they can really lead to obviously heated arguments, right? So politics, I think, is probably number one. Yeah?
Yeah. Politics, is especially right now, with as divisive as things can be and polarized as they can be, definitely. That would be number one.
Yeah, I mean, you have to get into the I had a dish. I don't know whether I did. I share this before. My dishwasher was. I had the dishwasher guy over, and we got into politics, and I was saying, I just kind of feel like sometimes it is. Trump is just. It's about Trump. He's very stingy. Anyway, so the guy says, "Oh, do you know that he gave away some." He paid off somebody's mortgage because they stopped to help him on when he was pulled over on the road. And he said, "No, I didn't know that." But then I went to Snoops.com, of course, and it was false. And I was able to call him and say, that is on Snoops. I've sent you the link. So, because obviously, it just didn't feel like, like Trump would do something like that. Anyway. So probably a political conversation we should avoid, but at the same time.
It also feels like too good to be true, too, like kind of a thing.
Yeah. It's like, I wish I would have run into Trump so that he could pay off my mortgage.
or buy me a car or something.
Yeah. he'll just love me just because I'm there, and he'll pay for something. So, yeah. Anyway. So politics is number one. I mean, what happens to you guys when you come up against something opposite of what you feel? You know, it's just, it really is, it can be, you just feel like melting sometimes when it comes to politics. And you have to, one kid was saying, you know, my medicine for, what was it for? What is the sugar problem?
Oh, the diabetes.
Diabetes didn't go down. It went up by $20. And I said, well, maybe your parents are rich. He was 16. And he says, my mom is really poor. She's in Colorado, but he was in California, right? So I didn't even think to answer, you know, your father's probably rich. So because if it went up by $20, he can probably afford it. But the thing is that, you know, what I ended up doing was suggesting calling social services without finding out that his father was rich. Probably that was the case. But yeah, I mean, you gotta be on top of it when you open up the conversation to politics and know how to like go into the ring, because that's really what it ends up to be at this point.
Especially because it is so divisive and the perspectives are endless, but yet it seems like that red and blue point of view that we have to get into in order to have that political conversation, or at least it feels like you need to get on a side. And I know that isn't necessarily true. It's just all the way you communicate it. But a lot of people are honestly afraid, because I don't think, A, they have enough information. Not everybody is a great debater. And not everybody wants to have a divisive conversation, especially with a stranger. Like, you know, some people want that, but then some people are like trying to, I think, avoid those things. So it is definitely tricky with politics, especially now with the current climate. I feel it's always divisive on some level, but right now, especially.
Very heated, and so many things at stake.
Mm. And maybe that's what it is too. It's because the stakes are so high that the animosity goes up, the aggression goes up, the desperation goes up, you know, that all
and that's
the things.
Just it too, Jay. The aggression has gotten so much worse since I'm gonna just lay it on the line, since Trump has been around. Yeah, I mean, the aggression with people has gotten worse. It's just I think it's abominable. And we were never this bad in a political argument before, right? I mean, it's just gotten so much worse.
I feel the way I want to say that is I agree with you on one hand, and then I feel like it's always been that way. It just depends on the circles that you run in. And for whatever,
not to the point of putting people down, though, Jay. I mean, the other side has been really, I mean, they've been so mean and name calling in order to do their little fights. You know, it's a weird scene at this point. There's the word weird, but yeah. But it's been a mean scene.
When I was younger, there was like a saying, and it was this whole idea that we don't talk about either politics or church to strangers.
Religion, yeah.
So religion, yeah. Being the other biggie I want to mention, and to our list today.
So it would be, I guess, you know, can be sensitive and divisive too, right?
It can. I mean, look at the climate in some of what's going on in the Middle East. Some of that is has some ties to like religious backgrounds and belief systems and warring
really
belief systems.
And even
to the point where there are these wars that are in the name of God on both sides. So how does that work? I don't know. But it's happening.
In the name of God, you know, God would not be blowing somebody up, but anyway, yeah, I agree with you. That is a one place to circle to see the very nth degree of awful. So, yeah.
Well, and,
yeah, Deb, go ahead.
Well, I just think it's tricky because, you know, we can all have very different beliefs and views. And I think in one hand, we're supposed to. Like, I have my own perspective for a reason. And not that I should be running around with, like, a bunch of misinformation. That's not what I'm saying. But even with all the information being presented exactly the same to 20 people, 20 people can necessarily walk away and interpret it differently, even though they've all been presented with exactly the same information. So that's the part where I think there's room for more compassion and more understanding, but the current climate is not really fostering that. It is fostering more that division and the my side's better than your side and I'm right, you're wrong, I don't even want to hear you. And I don't know that Trump is helping that situation at all. I don't think the other side's necessarily helping, but that's the hard thing with the political system. I know I jump back to politics, but that
yeah,
is
but I
that
but like but I feel like that at least the Democratic side has been more inclusive as far as, you know, wanting to be for all Americans, right? And including the people that, you know, have been so damaging. So I don't know. I just yeah.
Okay. It's definitely tough. It really is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Religion, I don't know. I think it can be the kind of thing that can help because it can be another community us, you know, that we can connect with. And it can also be empowering depending upon the belief system and the group itself. But it, you know, there could be extremists situations going on in the religious world.
Well, the extremists actually bring it into a political point rather than religion point. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why the crossover there. I mean, the religious, you know, out thereists make it political, you know, and so it does take away from the religion point.
So when you think about these two topics in your own life, do you personally, are you willing to jump in on them or do you steer clear like in your everyday walking around?
Not always. In fact, I didn't even want to talk to the dishwasher man about it. He was the one who brought it up. And I don't usually because of course I'm in a red area. And so I think just about I have one friend who is blue here, one.
Wow.
So it's a rarity that I will even do it. It's just, I find it useless, just, you know, to even try and come across it. So, yeah.
Well, that's the
How
thing
about you?
That I think if it could be more fruitful where we could actually have a conversation. And not that we need to change each other's views, but at least that both parties would be willing to listen to each other. That would be different, but it's like most people are just trying to convince the other person to see it their way. And yeah, most of the time we're not going to be able to do that. It's just most people are just set in their way.
They are. Another one that I had written down for today was mental health, and many feel uncomfortable discussing their own or others' mental health issues. I had an experience with this one gal at that gym, and I didn't realize it until I told a friend about it. And I was right now I can only bop up and down across the swimming pool, right? And so I always take the wall when I can because that's the way when others get in, they're not going to get in your way. I'm waiting for a swimming cap and everything. Anyway, so I'm bopping up and down, and this woman comes over. And my friend called her the ick chick. And so she says, I'd like to take the wall. And you hear this really weird sound come out of my voice. And I go, oh, okay, yeah. You know, because I'm new to this thing. I don't want to cause a rift. So my whole voice went up and down, up and down. And so that was like, it was, you know, like the playground bully. I mean, to want to take over what I had gotten there early enough to take that wall, right? So there's something up with her, I wasn't ready to discuss it with her about her mental health, but there was something up that she needed to have that wall when there was nobody else in the pool.
Well,
you
especially
know,
if,
so
yeah,
it
it's
was,
just the two of you. Isn't there another wall on the other side? Like, can
yeah,
they not?
there's another wall on the other side, and she wanted to have that particular wall. And I guess I've never experienced that except for the playground bully in second grade that was Terry Pascal, and he had stuck his foot out in front of me, and I fell over it and got a bloody lip. So it reminded me of that, you know. So it was like, I mean, I've never... How
well, it's like you
ridiculous
can,
she was. How
well, you can,
ridiculous. I
well,
mean,
yeah, you can feel the difference between when something would be more like accidental, where, like, let's say she bumped into you and you guys were like in lanes next to each other or something that just happened.
Yeah.
Versus this is like very calculated. Like, you can feel her calculation of trying
oh,
to
yeah.
mess with you a bit.
And I got to say, too, I was really happy to have that wall because you don't get invaded by the other side. You know, you don't, because people come in from the other side. But it is a wall there, just one section. So I was really happy to have that wall. And then she took it away from me. It's like, oh, my God. So maybe it's me that has a mental health issue. I mean, I did analyze myself over that. But then my friend just said, oh, that would be an ick chick.
Well, and next time, too, if it ever happens again, you can see what it would be like to hold your space and be like,
oh,
no,
yeah.
I'm good
here. You
know,
the next time I'll have my cap and my earplugs and everything, and I'll be underwater. I'm going to be swimming underwater, so I won't even notice her.
You're going to be...
she won't be able to take my wall.
Are you going to be working on breathing under, like holding your breath underwater so you can learn how to
all
breathe
all the way
underwater?
To the end? Yeah, all the way to the end. I want to be able to do the underwater scene. I've got the goggles now with the blue glass so that because that's supposed to be the best for underwater. And I've got, well, they're coming anyway. We'll be here on Wednesday. But I'm really working towards, you know, just wanting to, I mean, I'm just enjoying swimming. And this pool is really warm. And so it's not a shock to get into, and it's clean, and I just love the pool. So, except when ick chicks are around.
You're right.
So,
it sounds like a fun way to work out, though, too. Get some movement.
Yeah, it really
in.
Is great. Yeah, you can feel like you're, you know, flying when done correctly. So, yeah.
So we have some
mental health. Yeah, go ahead.
Really quick, I just want to jump in and say hi to some folks joining us in the comments. We have Quelly joining us. Hi, Quelly.
Hey,
she says, Grand Rising, Jay, Carolyn, 1-2 family. Monday blessings. Right back at you. Thank you so much for being here. And Renee. Hi, Renee. She says,
hi, Renee.
Good morning, Carolyn and Jay, with some hearts. And then we got Tara. Hi, Tara.
Hey, Tara.
She's got a big giant good morning, along with Karen. Hi, Karen. Both of them are saying good morning. And Pamela, I just saw your comment come through. Let me hit the refresh. I know it's fresh, hot off the press here. And I just have to do the whole all comments instead of just, what was it called? Top comments. So Pamela, she says, hi, guys. Listening in while I work. Whoop, whoop.
Oh, good.
And lastly, nice. Chris. Chris says, drunk here, just for fun, haha, only kidding, maybe. Apparently,
<Uh-oh>.
Chris is having a good morning.
Yeah, apparently. Wow. Early so, riser.
Mental health.
Yeah. Mental health, yeah. So, you know, it really is something, too. And when you're, I know sometimes when people are really feeling down, you don't know about it until it's too late, right? And so you know, it is an area where, you know, when you see somebody has been depressed, you want to check on them a little more often, or, you know, suggest where they can, you know, get some help. So it's, you know, we're here to help each other. And not to avoid the conversation of mental health when we can. And when you're feeling down, you know, when you're feeling down, talk to somebody about it. So
well, and I know from my time at the suicide hotline, there was a lot of stigma around mental health, and this idea of a therapist or a psychologist, and this idea that you have to be crazy or be suicidal in order to get one. And, you know, those are extreme cases where they definitely come in handy. But it's really more about looking into maybe getting one before things get that bad, you know, to help. And also looking at like what Carolyn and I do as far as our advising over on Want to Listen as also being another avenue in order to get that type of guidance. We are not therapists, but we do similar work in the sense of how we can help people. So it is something to consider. And if you find that when you think of the idea of mental health, if you want to make fun of yourself or make fun of another person, that's definitely a place to look at, you know, where's that coming from? You know, why do you want to do that? Like, where is that thought that wants to tear it apart or wants to make fun of it coming from? Because it may be the very thing that isn't helping you be able to get the help you might need. I'm not saying that that's the case, but it very well might be. And so I just wanted to throw that out there.
Good points there. You know, personal regrets are another topic that we tend to avoid. Admitting regrets that they can be seen as a sign of weakness, maybe.
Mm. Well, so personal weakness regrets. And do you notice too, like with certain information that people will weaponize it, where it's like they collect information, especially like a situation like that where you didn't meet a goal or you weren't able to do what you said you were going to do. So that way that later on they can throw it back at you.
You throw it back at yourself because now they know.
Yeah, true.
Right. So why did I say that? So, so you have to, well, that's really picking your friends. So you don't feel like you're being torn down when you talk about it. Right.
Exactly. It's like, yeah. Are your friends really your friends? That's number one. And yeah, it's something to look at if they're not being supportive. And I'm not saying that's you need right. to support every little thing that you're doing, but especially in a situation like that where you are, where you're just wanting to connect and you're just wanting to be able to
go over something maybe that you've been regret. Yeah, and sometimes you just, you know, let it flow. So, and you want to only let it flow with the people who you feel good around, right? That right. You're not going to be held liable for what you've said later on.
Well, you personal don't want to have to be policed. Yeah, you don't want to be policed.
Police, that's right. I absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And watched after you've admitted something that really was hard to admit to begin with or just came out of your mouth and you just wanted to let it go and to feel better about it. Personal finances is another one. So your income, your debt, and spending habits maybe is something that are often kept private as well. Personal finances. What do you think of that one, Jay?
I notice that what I do notice is that people oftentimes will they'll tell you, well, okay, there's both happening. One is people are being honest and they have a low balance and they don't want to admit it. And then there are people that I feel like have quite a bit of money, but they say they don't have any because they don't want the attention that money can bring. And so I think it can be tricky how people can either lie about it or tell the truth. But of course have their reasons, but I just see that money can do strange things to people, you know, in my experience with family and clients and seeing what happens if there's like an inheritance involved or if properties are involved or some kind of business. Whenever there's those dollar signs, not always, but oftentimes you can see a side of people that you might not have never seen before in them come out and surprise you. And I think some of it comes from what you're saying is like the secretive part about it versus being able to just come out and be able to speak about like a transaction or where the money should go or how the money should be divvied up or whatever. Or even when a situation where it's like a trust or a will and it's spelled out and people still fight over it. Or, you know, I've seen people that will have their parents fraudulently sign an updated, you know, trust document that then changes the proportions or who gets what, and just people can be very devious. And so I know that's where a lot of some of this may come from, that kind of stuff. But I also feel that it's the kind of thing, especially with money, and especially if it, you're involved in it, it's the kind of thing we have to learn, if we are not good at it, to deal with it head on, and to be able to speak about it and hold our ground and hold up for our side of a particular proportion that's ours or what have you, but be able to communicate about it without losing our emotional stability. It's like being able to stay calm about it while we're addressing it. And I think that that's,
you know, it's really go ahead. Yeah, it's really, really close to another topic that that we tend to avoid, and that is social class, your economic status, and class differences. They can be uncomfortable to address. So in other words, maybe one person would be talking about, my God, I might have to go bankrupt. Or another person might be saying, well, I'm trying to figure out now, I gave some money to them last month, and so maybe I should give it more money to these people now. You know, so there's just so many different directions. So social class is another area, and it's almost in the same lump as personal finances, right? That we don't discuss.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's and why do you think that is? What's your opinion on that?
Well, one of the things I think is, if, you know, so say if six rich people and six poor people were in the same room, and nobody knew which was which, but you were supposed to just, you know, talk about, you know, regular, you know, let's see, trauma that's happened in the community, and you're supposed to come out with an outcome, you know, or something like that. You know, you don't want to look at people not having the ability to think because they don't have the money, or you don't have to, or the opposite direction. You don't want to, you don't want the rich people to not be addressed because they don't know what it's like to have the problem, because that's what you're trying to address in the circle, right? So it can go, I guess, because we don't want to bring in our social classes for conversation, because we don't want to, because everybody has been through their own, you know, school by their hard knocks or Harvard, right? Hmm. And so you get your learning from different areas.
I like that, from hard knocks or Harvard. That's a great analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. And you said another one too is legal issues, you know, and those can be, you can be very covetous of legal issues, especially when it comes around money, but pending lawsuits or legal troubles are often kept private.
True. One of it, and sometimes, you know, yeah, they have to be with a court order. But oftentimes it is good just to keep it quiet anyways until it's settled, because just to keep the energy clear as possible from any interference.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and also too, sometimes you don't want to share something like that because you're trying to like hold a outcome for yourself,
right?
And if you start to share it with other people, they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry to hear about that, you know, you'll never get it.
So, I know, right? They put their two cents on, yeah, that. Yeah.
And then you have to deal with that in your mind. So legal issues can be another thing that are often kept private. Ooh, how about this one? Infidelity.
Oh,
even our marital infidelity, which can be a sensitive subject, right?
Definitely. Because that's, yeah, definitely tricky, because even now too, there's so many different kind of ways people relate to each other in relationships, how they partner. And I notice on the gay world and the straight world, both, there's a lot more open relationships and multiple partner kind of relationships that are accepted, that where it was more monogamously, where people were more monogamous. And I feel like that tide has changed. And I think it's interesting how the communication around relationships has been evolving. But again, like everything else, it's like there's people in different kind of places. And I just for me, it's fun to watch and kind of see it from an outsider looking in when people talk to me. And then now also beginning to have a partner for myself and getting to experience partnership, because I was single for quite a while. That's been great, just on a personal aside.
Yeah. Okay. So discussion then about infidelity is, you think, easier in the gay world?
No. I just was trying to say that I see more and more partnerships having open relationships in both the gay world and the straight world. Where that was before taboo, now it's, you know, more the norm. Like monogamy, it was the norm. Now this whole idea of open relationships has crept in, and I've just been noticing and watching that and seeing the changes happen.
You know, that's interesting that you say that, because I haven't noticed that, but I guess I haven't been hearing enough about it. I know that at one point I was married and I had an open relationship, but that was a long time ago. But I haven't noticed that as a trend, Jay.
Maybe it's just an LA thing, and it feels like a bigger trend than it is.
Yeah, but do you think that maybe some of that too is caused from, you know, the inability to really get? I mean, because when you start to mess around with other people, what's happening to the core relationship that you have? You're not really supporting it, and are you? Because you're tending to like bleed out, you know, into other areas.
I agree. You know, it's too much.
Yeah.
Spreading of the.
Yeah.
Well, and people that have open relationships, they'll have to correct me if I'm wrong. But one thing that it feels to me that I just see, and I don't know if this is true for everybody, but just that sometimes there's an inability, an unseen inability to connect more intimately. And so it's easier to connect with multiple partners to a certain level than going all the way with one partner, if that makes sense.
It's almost like, cell phones and text talks have gotten us to a point where we can do something like that rather than getting tight. You know, you're just like, you have 3 seconds to communicate with somebody through a text. I mean, there could be just the culture of how we've changed there. Mm. It could have a lot to do with that too, I wonder. But I hadn't noticed that. I'll have to keep my eye on that.
Yeah, I'm curious what you notice. If you notice anything there.
Yeah. So, you know, the other thing we don't talk about is something you just mentioned too, is LGBTQ and issues around that. Personal experiences can be avoided in certain settings, because of the topic. So maybe you don't have any problem talking about that, right, Jay? I mean, do you avoid it or what?
I don't have trouble. It's more, for me, it was more of an issue when I was, when I was still mainstream, born-again Christian in the evangelical
free world.
And coming out, it was way more uncomfortable for me then because I felt like I was going against the church or against the beliefs that I was brought up with. It was far more difficult for me at that point. And now I just have a different way to communicate about it. And I don't walk around with all that guilt and shame anymore either. So that makes a huge difference. But that's taken me a time. It was not always the case like it is now.
Very good. Yeah. Infertility is another one. Having difficult having children, it can be a really sensitive topic, for many to talk about, because you're stressed out about it, right?
Well, definitely.
And you're trying to work it out with, because one of the main things that you want to really be is really relaxed when you're having issues like that, but it's kind of goes against the grain when you're freaked out about it, not being able to have a kid.
Like there can be a lot of family pressure from like mother-in-law or even mom to have that baby and to make it happen.
Horrible, so yeah.
It can be.
When are you gonna get pregnant, dear? When are you gonna get pregnant? Yeah.
Yeah, so. Or it can be like all your friends are seemingly pregnant, and why can't you get pregnant? And then it can be a thing.
And then the next one is divorce and separation. So, because obviously it can bring up painful memories or emotions, especially if you're fresh from it. It's hard to talk about divorce or separation. Tend to avoid.
I notice people going through it, there can be a lot of feelings of failure that can come up that are not necessarily true, but that can really cause someone trouble and not want to share.
Yeah, sometimes people are just really angry at their spouse. But anger is, can be good because it helps you make the separation, so you can, so in order to, really understand that it's not for you, you'll get really angry at the person, right? And that helps us. I feel like it helps us sometimes, to really understand that, it's not feeling right. You have to get loud to yourself.
It's true.
Yeah.
To be our own advocate.
Yeah. Body image is another one.
Oh. Yeah, I grew up with body dysmorphia, so that...
Oh, no.
That can be... I don't have trouble people talking about things now, but... sorry, I keep losing my voice. But when I was growing up, I really felt like I had to... that was the thing. That was just a thing. Just having to talk about my size and
your appearance, your body issues,
and then just what we're supposed to look like to fit in or to be attractive. What does attractive look like? Internalized all those messages.
It's too much, but the media has really brought us there in so many ways through the years as well. You wonder whether it was easier in, 1600s because they didn't have, the advertisements that they do today. Another thing we don't really talk about much is substance abuse, alcoholism, drug addiction, and similar issues that are often taboo. Substance abuse, what do you think?
I swear I've had experience with all these. It's true. I've had substance abuse issues as well. And to me, I just found out a lot of people, there's two main categories, people that want to help and people that will share their experience and provide guidance. And then the people that want to feel better about themselves, knowing that you're having troubles with drugs or you're having trouble with your weight or you're just having trouble with whatever. And they are able to like hold a certain space and feel above you. I felt like those kind of people. And I felt like those kind of people would weaponize information so they can hold that position. So I saw all that from a younger age and I internalized it. And so that was a lot for me to have to work through. So I can trust people again and I can not be so jaded walking around with all that stuff in my head about the things that didn't go well in the past or the ways that I got taken advantage of. It's like using it as an experience so I'm not naive, but also not, like I said, walking around being jaded by it so I'm afraid to connect or I'm holding it against everyone else that I meet, all these things that I had been through in the past, kind of a thing.
You try and cover it up. You cover it up.
Yeah.
So because you want to, people want to be seen as normal, right? And no matter how much you're feeling really stressed out and are turning to alcohol or whatever you're turning to, you want to be seen as acceptable and normal, normally.
Well, yeah, you don't want to feel like you're
right.
Yeah, your point is devalued because you're on a substance,
you're doing it because you've got some issues you're not covering for yourself that you're not fixing, and you're running from it.
I will struggle, man. That's for sure.
Yeah, so I guess the first thing out of that is, do something about the issues. And but that's not the topic. The topic is we avoid substance abuse issues, conversations. Death and mortality is another thing that we tend to avoid. The concept of death can be unsettling, and we want to avoid it sometimes.
I notice there's a lot of families that have issues talking about that with aging parents, for example, or even partners, being able to have a conversation about what happens if or what happens when kind of a thing, and just how emotional, like how that can set off an emotional reaction in somebody, instead of really just being able to look at it from the standpoint of helping that person or helping the couple or helping the family get ready, be prepared. Everybody knows what's going to happen. So instead of having to figure that out after the fact, that could be dealt with ahead of time. But yeah, not everybody is willing to do that. They can get.
Yeah. But we can also turn that around too. And, and you can maybe talk about near death experiences and talk about the blessings that may come from it in the end, to help the person that you're unable to talk about, and talk with, who may be dying. You can try and find what you can to help ease the pain as you're going along the conversation. And that, to me, that would be one of the things is to maybe, watch some near death experiences on YouTube, so you can hear people's reaction to not being afraid of death.
Yeah. And help just hear other perspectives about it.
That's right. Yeah. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh my gosh, I feel like we've been through a whole bunch. Do we have anyone in the chat room?
Oh, let's see. I know we have had, you have come up with a very extensive list here for us to talk about this morning.
Yeah.
So Chris added to her comment earlier. She says, I was referring to Carolyn's pool person listening while I work with my coffee.
Yeah, the ick chick. Ick chick, that's right. Yeah, thank you for helping me solve that issue. by the support. Past traumas are another thing that we don't like to talk about, like abuse or accidents. So you don't want to sometimes talk about that past traumas. Again, I want to be normal. I want to be seen as normal, so I'm not going to tell you about that. Maybe it's a sexual harassment, assault, or something that you had that was part of your trauma, but not often talked about, right?
That's true, especially if it's something that happened in a family dynamic. It can be very taboo. And again, it's the kind of thing that we want to believe that people are going to be able to be mature and handle this kind of information and be able to keep it safe. But sometimes there are folks out there, they get a hold of a piece of juicy information and they just can't help themselves. And so that's the part where it is important to be able to share with people that you know can hold it safe, because it's important to let it out and not just hold it inside.
How could anyone want to put somebody down for a past trauma? Because we all have them. There, well, I hope my catastrophe is not going to be the size of a Mount Everest. Because everyone has catastrophes happen. Everyone does, and to put anyone down for a trauma that they've been through and carried, and gotten through. I mean, really, we should get an award after being through many of these, because it's like you made it through, and really, we should get some sort of a badge for it.
I agree with you. I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
We made it through this gauntlet. Called Planet Earth.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, we always need to be more supportive of each other and help each other grow and learn from the nightmare that we've been through sometimes, and you gotta You gotta stay kind is what you gotta do. So
It's true.
criticism with loved ones, criticism with loved ones. How many times have you avoided the conversation cut? Every time he does that, it just drives me nuts, in your mind, why can't I tell him about it? And so criticism with loved ones. You often avoid discussing the flaws or wrongdoings with close friends or loved ones. And sometimes it's probably because you've known each other for way too long and something could set them off. But sometimes you need to address it though, so that you can try and edge it towards correction, so that it's not so that it can be corrected and that it's not as bothersome, right,
Definitely.
for either person.
No, I feel like these things all come down to communication and how we are first communicating with ourselves. Like, to what level are we able to say what we really mean and say all the things that we really want to say versus like how much we're still editing or holding back. And I feel like this conversation that we're having today is a good place to start to be able to look at the places where we might hold back still, or where we might say too much, where we might be looking at finding a new balance where we're able to share and be authentic, but we aren't necessarily going to tell everybody everything, the play by play, moment by moment.
You have to, yeah, hold. Another thing, Jade, that I wanted to mention too was the issue of homelessness and its causes, and it can make people uncomfortable. Just think about it for a minute. When you go to the grocery store and you see somebody wanting money, and you forget about them by the time you're at the stoplight leaving the grocery store, you forget about them. It's like, okay, I watched it, I felt it, and now I'm leaving it. I'm heading home with all of my groceries, so you just put it out of your mind. And so that's kind of, I wish we could do something about that, and that everybody would have a safe, cushy place to be, and it's just that's trauma right there to me. But maybe not to many, maybe to some of the homeless people, it's not trauma, but these are traumas we should be addressing.
Well, and I think sometimes too, just in word choice, when the way the news would cover it, sometimes like prisoner or like that's a criminal, or like these are unhoused people or they're homeless, or they're transients. It's like we get these labels that we use, and then we like lose sight of people's humanity. Like there's a human underneath all that. That's just like you and me, and so I think that sometimes we forget that because we want to. I don't want to be stressed out and feeling sad about all the people struggling in the world. But at the same time, all you have to do is walk outside the door, and if you live in a big city, and you can see the struggling happening. So,
118 degrees, 118 degrees, and they're asking for money in the extreme heat. That's, to me, is just I just really I just
it's
I
rough.
feel their pain. I
It's
feel
rough.
their pain. So it's just it's
I feel you too.
not something I could do. Yeah, it's just really
For me, I help where I can, where I feel guided to, but I also have use it as a way to learn how to ask spirit, is this person, is it up for me to help in this situation, or am I, for whatever reason, just meant to be a witness to this and to
Yeah,
maybe send
remember
love?
KGO Radio, the one of the Ron Owens years ago was used to say that that a homeless person makes more than most people make, like 60,000 a year just in doing it. So I guess it depends upon the person, but I guess they've done stuff, and that was years ago. 60,000 a year they can make. So there, there's different ways, I guess, of looking at it, but usually when I see it, I don't think of that person making more money than me, and you think of just like how really highly horrible it would be to be in that predicament. So, but in some cases, it's not a predicament; it's chosen, and it's and they're doing just fine somehow. Yeah.
No, it's different for everybody. And talk about the things we talked about. Mental health, drugs can also play factors in that, and along with a myriad of other life situations that can happen. I mean, I'm glad on one hand that we do have a lot of services that can help. We have a lot of nonprofits that are helping. And this is also a place where if you see a particular need in the world and you have a solution, this is your opportunity potentially to bring it into the world to help. So it's like these are opportunities. We can be a victim to them, or maybe they can inspire us and we can and be inspired to make some kind of community change.
Changes.
Or global change.
Yeah. Good idea. That's a good point. So all of this does come down to we've all got problems, and it's just trying to you know, really discuss how to make ourselves better, and that's what it's all about, and being able to share and know each other from the best perspective that we can possibly have, you know, to understand the person and to either want to be around them or not be around them, but to give everybody respect and you know, look at their circumstances. So, I mean, all of these issues we've talked about today can be huge. You know, just one of them alone can be a huge situation. Race and ethnicity. I mean, some guy may be really having problems because of what race he is. You know, and so we have to, you know, we avoid the topic of the fact that, you know, just because of his color, he's probably going to be arrested in the next year, right? It's just, it really is. It's awful. I mean, and we shouldn't be there with this. So
agreed.
There's just no rhyme or reason why we should be there like this. It's sickening. So, yeah.
I can't believe it, but it's already time to wrap up the show. It has been so great to have this conversation with you. Where can everybody find you over on One to Listen this week?
From 7:30 till 4:30 Monday through Monday, except for Monday. God, I always have to come back to that. I'm One to Listen, and you can also get me or Jay on the what is it called, Jay?
Oh, you mean the chat?
No, not chat. To if we're not online.
Oh, the schedule an appointment button. You can click the
yes.
schedule an appointment button,
yes.
And that lets us know right away that you are looking for us, and you can set a time, or you can say something to the effect of, I'm available for the next 2 hours. If you get this message, you can call me back, kind of thing. So the
Very
system
good.
Is really cool. It gives you multiple options on how to connect with us and to let us know. But we do our best to accommodate whenever we can to be ready for you.
And you're also going to be on what radio programs?
This week I have my own show on Wednesday called The Psychic Playground. It's on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific. And we get into fun topics about the playful aspect of being a psychic to hone our skills and abilities. And then I also do free readings at the second half. And then Backstage Pass is the interview style show with Raven, where we interview personalities from the metaphysical world. And most importantly, here from the 1-2 universe. We got lots of great things happening here in the 1-2 world.
Yeah, great lineup coming up. Mark Hessen is up next. So here we come into Mark.
Bye, everybody.
See you next week.
In mornings, gentle light, we bid you all good night. Ideas, stories, hopes, and dreams took flight with Carolyn and Jay, conversations so bright in this cosmic realm where our stories ignite. Mornings embrace a new day's pearl. Their dialogues continue in this cosmic swirl. Thank you for joining with hearts full and swell. In the mythical realm, where our stories dwell.